You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for November 2nd, 2016, and George is back from the world stage.
Experience Points Podcast. I'm George Arbor.
My name's Scott Chester.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, a site dedicated to the serious but not humanist conversation about video games. You know us. We know you.
Mm-hmm.
And
your resident esportsman.
We are. My name is George Esportsman. We're talking about esports a bit today. The reason being, I recently came back from the World Championship of League of Legends. Now, normally, This is what, the sixth year the League of Legends World Championship. Mm-hmm. I've watched most years, at the very least on VODs, but potentially live streaming. But in this case, I was actually there live at the actual physical event. It was a real thing.
The kids call it Meat Space.
They do. Do they? Is that like a, what's that show, iRobot?
Yeah,
that
like an iRobot thing?
And we thought it might be fun to have a conversation about that event. As well as just, you know, esports general stuff, because that's always fun.
Yeah. Mainly because I want to ask you questions about what the largest, well, maybe not in the world, but one of the largest esports tournaments was just like being inside.
It's got to be the largest, right?
I mean, I imagine there's some stadium somewhere in Korea that might be bigger, but like, it's one of the biggest.
I mean, it's so this year it was held at the Los Angeles Staples Center, which
where the Los Angeles Lakers play.
Where the Los Angeles Lakers play, where the LA Kings play.
Yeah.
This is a like world class stadium.
Yeah.
And it's fucking so bizarre. Like, yep. I genuinely, you know, I've been to a few esports events before. I've been to the regular LCS matches that they hold at their studio in Santa Monica.
Mm-hmm.
I went to IEM Intel Extreme Masters in San Jose. And they were playing at the Shark Stadium, which is, again, that's a major sports stadium. It wasn't sold out, though, whereas the LA Staples Center was sold out. I mean, this is a stadium that has, like, not one tier, not two tiers, not three tiers, but, like, five tiers.
Yeah.
Like, there are seats that go way up into the sky.
You're looking down on it like a board game.
And normally you're watching this presentation where, you know, you have the view of this huge stadium, but most people are actually watching, in this case, these huge monitors that are hovering above the actual floor. And then down on the floor, in these sort of like weird concave quarter dome booths, are the two teams. So you can't really see them playing at any given time anyway.
When you're seated in your seats, by the way, is it just regular seats? Do they keep the seats in there?
They have, yeah, they kept the seats in regular seats, which I might add are very comfortable.
Mm-hmm. I guess LA puts on a good show.
Yeah.
Did you know what side you would be on? Like, are you behind the players? Are you to the side of the players?
Yeah, so if this were, like, a football game or whatever, I was basically right about in the middle along,
you're like on the 50-yard line. Yeah. Okay. So you could see both players kind of, like...
Well, so, okay, here's we'll just talk a little bit about the layout, right?
Yeah.
For the actual players, there are two teams of five, and each of them were behind what was essentially, like, a quarter dome, so that all they could see was a screen in front of them and a gray soundproof wall.
Okay.
That's all they could see.
And it comes up as well, right?
And yeah, it comes up and then over them.
Yeah.
Now, projected onto those domes are each of the players behind that dome. So you could see, and I'll post some images online as well, but you could see each of those players in their respective spots when you're looking at the dome.
Okay, okay.
Which was actually pretty useful because...
So it's like a kind of, it's a big magnified projection of what is, it's like a larger than life avatar for those people.
Exactly. Like, okay, it's like, got it. And that was actually pretty cool at the live event, and something that you don't always get because of the small size of your computer monitor, is the ability to look down and see someone reeling in their, like, their death or their mistake. Like, you could see someone,
you
like...
You could see people, like, just, like, gnawing at their hands.
Like, hold their hand and stuff, you know? And I guess we'll get to it later, but there's something really cool about being live at an esports event, and it's not just, like, the crowd.
Mm.
When you see that person react, like, when one of the teams lost, you would see the reaction on the big screen as well because the camera guy would come up.
Mm.
But then you'd see them physically stand up and sort of, like, walk off the stage and, you know, through the, I don't know what you call it, whatever the area is that they go to exit the entire arena. And you got a feeling of like, man, this guy just went through some crazy shit. He's got literally 4 minutes to collect himself and come right back out on stage. Mm-hmm. There's just something like more real about their physical person being there, you know?
Yeah. I'm looking at pictures as we go. So it's like this little circular stage.
Well, no, so this is actually, this is not it. This is a different, I think this is an earlier world.
Oh, okay.
So the arena was much larger. In fact, you know what? I have my phone on me, Scott. Mm-hmm. Why don't I just show
let's,
you pictures?
Let's go through this slideshow on a podcast. I'll just... Oh, I found some more. This looks a little bit more here.
Good listening. So they were projected onto the dome, so you could see their reactions. You could see their sort of movements and whatnot. And then on the center of the floor was the projection of a huge map of the actual game map.
Oh, nice.
Which was kind of a cool functionality, but in practice, it didn't actually do a whole lot.
Is it because it was obscured by the people sitting on the stage?
Because there wasn't that much functionality of the map itself. No. So the map would show the
It wasn't arena. A live stream of
no.
the thing. It was just a...
Like, I thought it was going to be a live stream of the game minimap, which would have been fucking
that
awesome.
That would be, yeah.
But didn't end up actually working
as
I had imagined it. Mm. There was a couple cool things that they did with that space, which was like when the Baron came up, they showed the animation of like a Baron spawning and sort of taking over the space. When a dragon was killed, a huge sign would say like, you know, Infernal Drake killed or whatever.
I've seen some of that stuff on broadcasts of esports.
Where, oh, really?
Yeah, like when I was a while back, I was watching a Heroes of the Storm one, and like when whatever, like Black Hearts Bay thing, like when they activated that, it would show like a weird little cutscene of the pirate doing things, and it's like that's a really strange thing.
Well,
it's not even part of the game.
I could tell they did show that in the internet stream because you would see like the big screen takeover sometimes. Now, I suspect that it was mostly like a cool functionality that they wanted to experiment with, because here's the thing: if you're at a live stadium of the size that is the Staples Center, you only have five people playing and they're not moving. Like, that's not actually where your attention goes.
Yeah.
So you have all of this empty space. What are you supposed to do with it? Like, realistically, what are you supposed to do with it?
I mean, you could tell that they put a lot of seats on the floor. Like, they filled up a lot of seats so that you're, like, pretty close to what the stage looks like. Kind of like basketball.
Yeah, it's almost like you could, it was basically like a hockey game, I guess. Like, they were basically in the same sort of arena of the hockey thing.
Yeah.
But again, like, with nothing happening, what are you supposed to do there?
Yeah.
Now, all of the venues that I've seen esports on, they've tend to have the stage almost like a music venue. So they have seats all the way up to the stage. So there's not all this dead space.
Yep.
Whereas when you're in an actual arena, there's less of that. Now, this is where I actually think efforts like, what is it, the Esports League that just recently built a stadium in Atlanta dedicated to esports are going to have a big benefit.
Yep.
Because the experience of watching that show live in a space that was created for that sport in mind is going to be far more engaging and a cool experience.
I mean
don't get
that's
me wrong,
even...
if it was cool, but you could tell this was a stadium that was not built for esports.
Yeah. I'm also looking at the big
monitor?
Screens. Yeah, the monitors that are... basically showing what you would see on a stream. So are they broadcasting the stream?
That's basically it's okay. Literally like, other than Twitch, a huge like screen of Twitch chat hanging above the crowd.
Actually though, but that's kind of a good point to bring up. Like, was there any sort of, because like one of the biggest things with esports right now anyway is, for better or worse, that fucking chat bar. Like, was there any audience interaction?
So there was, in the sense that you have audience interaction at a sports show. So there were chants going on. There are the sort of basic memes that happen in League of Legends esports. So whenever a ward is killed, for example, the crowd would cheer and stuff. And at a couple points, there's a video of it I have as well. People did the wave. So the wave was going around the stadium, and you know, the excitement and exhilaration. And in terms of the quality of the games that were on show, it was the best I could have possibly hoped for.
I mean, I was like kind of ducking in and out, and I was like, George picked a good year to go
see
this thing.
It was a great
thing.
Year to go. I mean, like, I was convinced it was going to be an SKT win, 3-0, and it was just going to be a stomp, and there was going to be no excitement to it.
Yeah.
And after the second game, and the first game was super good. It was very exciting. The second game was a stomp in SKT's favor. And I was like, oh, this is it. Like, they're not going to win three games in a row.
Yeah.
And then Samsung Galaxy put up an amazing fight in a really great game. And so to have those matches, because it went a full five games, was super cool in a live venue, because the excitement of the possible upset was so palpable. Like, in the middle of the second game, when SKT was beating Samsung, there was a sort of malaise in the audience, right? Everybody sort of knew what was happening. Mm. This was what they expected.
Yeah.
Another, you know, SKT has won 2 world championships already. This is Faker's 3rd championship. He's the best player in the world. Of course they're going to win.
They were watching the Lakers of the 2000s.
Yeah, I mean, it's like watching the Lakers of the 2000s playing against some other shitty basketball team I'm unaware of, right? Like
the Clippers of the 2000s.
Sure. Whatever. Like, everyone expected it to be a stomp, and so there wasn't a whole lot of excitement during that game. And then in the 3rd game, which was very, very close, and went like it was 14 seconds away from being the longest game in world's history, the excitement was
at a feverish pitch. Do you have a sense?
Yeah, it was about 70 minutes.
Okay.
Which is very long.
That's a long
I mean, you could fit 2 full League of Legends matches in that time.
That's long for a League of Legends game.
So at that point, because everybody knew, like, we are on the precipice of something here that could be amazing, right? And then there's also a song, like this League of Legends song, that will only play at esports events. Again, this is just like an esports meme, just like baseball sort of has, like the 7th inning stretch, right? Mm-hmm. This is a song that will only play in between the 4th and the 5th match.
Oh, yeah.
So when that song came on, it was like this huge stadium celebration of the fact that, like, holy crap, for the first time in world's history, we're going a full 5 games. Like, this is a fight that people have to fucking, like, fight for tooth and nail.
Yeah.
And it's so exciting, and we're all here together, and, like, let's, like, rock out to this music. It was really cool. It was really neat to have that sort of large-scale audience participation.
Do you feel...
People busted out, they turned their flashlights on their cell phones to have, like, an impromptu light show. It was crazy.
Do you feel like it impacted the players?
That's a really good question. I don't know. So, all of the players have soundproof headphones on.
But still, it's so loud.
It's
you
so
can't
loud.
Possibly, like...
I mean, there were times when the announcers are broadcasting, like, you know, they're shoutcasting the events of the stream.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a huge team fight, and the shoutcasters are analyzing the team fight as it's happening, which is great to hear. But if you're live, you're not hearing that. All you're hearing are the cheers and people going, "Oh my God!" and like pulling their hair out and stuff. So I'm sure the players heard some of it.
Yeah.
I think where it was probably most effective, though, was how the players felt when they took their headphones off. So like when Samsung won the 4th match to push it to game 5 and they took their headphones off, they were met with one of the loudest crowds I've ever heard at any sporting event.
Yeah.
And I feel like that must have jazzed them up. Yeah. Right? After the 3rd game as well. Like that must have really driven them to perform, I feel like.
Yeah.
And you know, on the same side on the flip side, right? Like when SKT takes their headphones off and they've lost match 4, and there's a very real chance that they'll lose, even though they were the favorites, that cheering of the crowd must have gotten to them, right? It must have.
Yeah.
Or at another point, like it was a really dramatic point, I think this was the end of match 2, and Samsung Galaxy had just been brutalized, and one player in particular, Crown, who's Samsung Galaxy's mid laner, did very, very poorly. Like he just did not do well in that game. And he was the last of his team to leave the stage, and he hesitated. And so he was his head was in his hands. He looked very visibly upset. Like it was the face of someone that was tilting. Right? Like if I had seen that face, I would have been like, "Oh, this is done. Like this is done for." Just because I can see the emotion on his face and how hard it is right now.
Do you think the opponents could see him too?
I know, because they'd already walked off stage. Okay. I guess they could have if they looked up, but I don't think they did.
Yeah.
So at that moment, like when he's off stage, the crowd started cheering for him, and I don't know if it helped, but man, like I just cannot imagine what emotions he must have been feeling at that time, where he felt like, "I let my team down. We're gonna lose this 3-0. We're not even gonna put up one game. Like this is dishonorable. Like, this isn't the show that people came to see." And then to know that he had the support of the crowd, right? At many points in the game, the crowd was chanting like, "Let's go Samsung," you know, and, which was weird because that's also a phone.
Yeah.
And
well, it's also like SK Telecom.
I know,
like,
it's super weird.
It's like, what if our team was like AT&T presents?
Yeah.
You know, like
here in the States, we only name our baseball stadiums
after
telecommunications companies.
Yeah.
But they were also chanting that in between matches. So surely they heard that and felt like, man, the crowd's on my side in this time, right?
Mm.
And people, even though the crowd was overwhelmingly cheering for Samsung because they wanted a good match, when SKT won and SKT took off their headphones and like Faker took the stage and was about to be interviewed, the crowd was cheering for Faker too, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there was this like huge admiration from thousands upon thousands of people for this guy. And I think the feeling like you're in the crowd that is sharing the enthusiasm for the sport and the admiration for that particular person's play in what was like frankly, just an amazing set of games was really cool. It must have been cool. It must have affected them.
Yeah. Do you think... before I get into that, was what sort of announcing was done for the benefit of the live attendees?
Not a whole lot. Yeah. So there were some events outside before the entire thing took place.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, everything that you saw in terms of watching the match was the same that you'd see at home.
Would they broadcast the audio?
There was an EDM show.
Oh, no.
There was one song. So there was like a live orchestra, uh-huh. which was pretty cool. And there was one song where they had like all of this shit on the arena floor.
Uh-huh.
So there was like a wall so they could project a music video by this guy, Zed, uh-huh. which is a character in League, but he's also the name of the EDM artist.
Okay.
And there was a cube that I found this hilarious. The cube had lights projected on it, so it looked like a loot box from League of Legends.
Oh my god. Because
if you don't know this, League of Legends had loot boxes now.
Hey!
Hey! Everyone loves it.
It's 2016, it's y'all. 2016.
And naturally, the loot box opened up and the guy was inside of the box and then he did his like...
Was he wearing a purple suit?
No, it was just like a dude in a jacket and then he did his like EDM thing and then like that was it. It was like, you know, maybe 5 minutes long before they went back to the regular match. There was also, you know, afterwards, there was confetti that rained from the sky, which was kind of cool to be there live in person and have that sort of celebration. You know, you got to see the people hand out their jackets. The winners got world championship jackets, which are these like, they basically look like...
It's like Letterman jackets. No, they're like,
well, no, they're not Letterman jackets because that's what SKT already wears.
Oh, okay.
Like that's their team logo.
Yeah.
It was like aviator jackets.
Oh, sweet.
But black, and they actually looked pretty baller. So in 20 years, I'm going to buy one on eBay and inevitably gets up there.
How about during the match? Like, were you able to hear anyone announce... Oh, well, looks like this guy, you know, has 50% to his ultimate. Like, were they announcing any of the traditional shoutcasting thing?
All of the shoutcasters that were shoutcasting the event, the broadcasters for the main Twitch stream were the same ones we were hearing in the stadium. There was, like, swag giveaway, like, in those 5 minutes.
But you heard
matches.
The feed. That
if, yeah, but we essentially heard the feed. Those same guys shoutcasting. Now, there was actually this year, in fact, if you're listening to this and you don't play League of Legends and you're curious to watch those matches, they did do an online stream for new players, just like Dota had done, which I was really... Like, if I hadn't gone, I would have watched that stream out of curiosity to see how they sort of sell this to viewers. They did have that stream going on at the same time, but no one in the stadium could hear that. I imagine most people at the stadium knew what League of Legends was.
How did they have it? Like, did you have to like wear certain headphones and tune into a channel? Like, how did
it was broadcast over the speakers in the stadium.
What? How? But then there's like two streams happening at the same time. Like, how do they expect anyone to hear that?
Well, no, like those broadcasters who were being... It's basically like the Twitch stream was on TV with the speakers turned up all the way.
Okay, but not the noob channel.
No, the noob channel wasn't being broadcast at all.
That's fine. Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah,
because like I think a lot about physical sports, and you have some announcing in the stadium, but the thing that I always remark on when I go see a live sport is you just have to pay more attention.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
You know, like there's no announcer telling you the narrative of the game.
Yeah.
You just have to listen to the stadium announcer, which says like, well, Kobe Bryant scored 2 points. Like that's it. And like then you go off, like there's no like color to it. It's just
I think that's
facts.
It's kind of true here just because the crowd is so loud.
Mm.
Like you're, especially during team fights, you're not going to hear anything.
Right.
The other thing that I think is kind of cool, and I don't know, I'm curious to know if this happens at like live sporting events. Mm. I don't really hear it too much because I've generally been to mostly baseball games, and baseball games are sort of by the numbers in terms of how things go down. But at the league event, you know, strangers are talking to each other and giving their opinion about like what's happening beforehand. Like people will say, oh, you know, they should have banned Jhin this game instead of banning this other character.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot more analysis going on. And there's also kind of a cool thing where the crowd will spot something before the broadcasters do because there's so many of them. Mm. And then sort of, you know, a loud murmur will go up. Like when a ward gets destroyed or when like a risky, when someone's about to get caught out, you know, the whole crowd will go, whoa, you know? And you can sort of feel the energy of the events taking on place in a way that's different than what you would feel by watching the broadcasters who are always like a second behind.
I think the difference of between what you saw and like going to like an A's game in June is like There's people there just to enjoy the day.
Yeah, but like, exactly.
If you're
just there for hot dogs and beer.
Right, but if you're at, you went to the World Series of esports.
That's
so,
a very good
so
point.
So like the
yeah.
people who are, like I've been to more and less competitive games. And like when you're at the more competitive games, it's like people are only talking about the game. It's like, oh, they yeah. should have put this pitcher in, blah, blah. Why'd he throw a ball on two yeah. and two, blah, blah,
yeah.
blah. So
yeah.
it's like, I feel like you were
like
with...
the Cubs games are going on right
exactly.
now.
Like those people are not just like lollygagging around.
We're not
know.
Fucking around here. Yeah. We're here to watch a team win.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas like this is the equivalent of like the biggest of the big stages.
That's a very good point.
And yeah. so maybe if it got to the point where we had these at the Coliseum like every weekend... there would be some more casual things where it's like, yeah, oh, let's just go and hang out for the day and watch a few league games, you know?
Yeah. Well, the other thing is esports will never be outside because of the glare.
Yeah,
so I feel
true.
Like no matter what, you're
you
never going
focus.
There just for a good day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And no one goes to stadiums for stadium food. No one's like, man, I could really go for $16 fucking nachos right now.
Did they have food in there?
Yeah, of course.
What was it like? What kind of food?
I mean,
there?
All the same bullshit.
It was,
like,
it was
chicken tenders and burgers and. Like,
it wasn't themed to
I
like
had a beer. No.
Yeah, ugh, they should have themed it.
It
would have like,
been good, but
League
I
of
don't
Legends
think
stuff.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, I think the aspect of it being a championship match is also, it gives you a certain type of crowd too.
Yeah.
Like, you're there with the people that care the most.
That's true.
You
yeah.
know?
Yeah. I mean, the idiots that would, like, drive down to Los Angeles on a Friday, Halloween weekend.
Did you get a sense of the, like, any of the demographic makeup of the crowd? Like, was it young people,
yeah,
old people?
I was literally thinking about this question like, last night.
White people, Asian people, like, men, women?
Sure, yeah. So, yeah. I mean, again, I have... whatever I'm seeing is
yeah.
the best I can offer you.
Yeah.
A lot of white dudes
yeah.
and a lot of Asian dudes.
Yeah, all right.
I mean, there was some racial diversity, and esports is relatively racially diverse,
yeah.
depending on the game.
Exactly, yeah.
For League of Legends, you do get a lot of racial diversity.
Yeah.
For fighting games, you get a ton of racial diversity.
Yeah, fighting games is definitely the most, like, mixed.
Yeah, yeah. absolutely. Gender diversity, very, very small. I mean...
yeah.
I'm probably 3 to 5% of the crowd were women.
Yeah.
So maybe like one in.
Were there any women in any of the teams
so.
That were competing?
No. No.
Man.
Yeah, there was a woman in Renegades in the LCS last year, but she dropped out and no woman has stepped into League of Legends esports since then.
Wow.
At least on that level of competition.
Right, the elite teams or whatever.
There was a North American player, and this I thought was kind of interesting. So,
because both these were Korean teams,
they were
right?
both Korean.
Yeah.
And it's funny because at group stages, I mean, and maybe this is natural, but at group stages, there's just way more like nationalism involved.
Yeah.
So you got a lot of, you know, there was a person dressed up as like Abe Lincoln with like an American flag and like an American flag top hat at the group stages I went to support North American esports teams, which is like, you know, whatever, good on you for supporting yeah. that. There, I didn't see any Korean flags. There were like SKT posters and
yeah.
stuff, but there was no like national pride, I guess, because it was all Koreans.
Do you feel like there was an international presence? Like, do you think there were people from
absolutely.
Out of the States?
Absolutely, yeah, yeah definitely. The one different, well, two differences and things that I spotted that I thought were interesting. One is the crowd still chanted TSM. So I don't know if you know about this, but there's a sort of weird meme that fans of TSM, which is a North American League of Legends team,
yeah.
will chant TSM, TSM. Mm-hmm. At games where TSM is not playing. It's so fucking weird. It's like if you went to like...
That's actually kind of like a wrestling crowd, actually.
Yeah.
Like if you've ever been to wrestling...
Is that true?
Like, wow, I'm having a breakthrough right now. So like, esports and wrestling have a
no,
lot...
No,
have
don't
a
tell
fair
me that.
Amount, because there's memes. There's wrestling memes where like...
Fuck yeah, you're right.
And people will just start chanting things about other wrestlers in the middle of other matches.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like people will just start shouting John Cena or something?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. I mean, not John Cena, but they'll start chanting things or they'll make references to like in jokes about the industry like during a wrestling match.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, because there are a bunch of memes, right? Like if they hover Teemo or something, the whole crowd goes, woo!
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Even though we all collectively know that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
The TSM chant, like, honestly, I find it super obnoxious and kind of rude considering the Koreans on display have proven they're better than TSM. Like, so I feel like there's some division, but it was a large number of people were shouting TSM.
Yeah.
The other thing is there is a player named Core JJ who is from North America but plays on the Korean team.
Ah.
So he plays on Samsung Galaxy as their support player.
Does he live in Korea?
I presume he does because he has to live in their like gaming house or whatever.
Right.
And I'm sure he's fluent in Korean.
Bang.
But when they were announcing the names of the participants, the crowd went wild when his name was called. He's not a household name. He's not like Faker or whatever.
But he's a local
player. But he's a local player.
Yeah.
And there was that like local thing. Yeah. And there were people joking of like, man, maybe Samsung is coming back because like little do you know, home court advantage to core JJ.
Right.
Like he's the one guy where that matters.
Yeah.
And in that moment, like hearing that, one, I thought it was kind of weird at first.
Mm-hmm.
But two, it really made me wish a North American team had been playing. Because I feel like the energy in that room, if it was North America versus Korea, would have been fucking mind-blowing.
Oh, yeah. Well, especially because it would be like in the Olympics playing against the United States basketball team.
Right.
Except we're the bad ones.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah. We're the bad ones. I think it would have been really interesting to watch for sure. And I was kind of surprised there wasn't more sort of strain of nationalism.
Yeah. Yeah. Were there any allowances for like coaches or anything around the stage, like when they were?
So not when they're playing. The rules say that the coach can be there during picks and bans.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure in Korea they are like, we don't give enough credit to the coaches. Like they are.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's kind of like football, right?
Yeah.
Like they're a player that is essentially pivotal to the team.
Yeah.
They're not performing the actions,
right?
But for the strategy, like they're the ones deciding picks and bans for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
So they're allowed up there during the picks and bans phase.
Mm-hmm.
When the game starts, they have to leave the stage. They're watching backstage.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's been the norm for the entire time.
Yeah.
As far as I understand.
That's kind of interesting to compare it to other sports where like some sports are much stricter about how the coach can communicate to the players. Like you have to take a timeout in order to regroup, or you know, if you can get what you need to get across by shouting it from the sideline, you can do that, but like you can't walk onto the field, you know. Like,
but what I feel like esports misses though is those larger than life coaches where you see them like swearing at the refs and flipping their shit up, and like occasionally during the regular,
there's no John Madden of,
yeah, there's no John
esports.
Madden, or like I mean literally almost any coach is like flamboyant in some crazy unique way.
There's
this Mexican soccer coach that is like famous because all he does is like cross his arms and just smoke the entire game. He's just constantly smoking and being mad, and it's so hilarious because like that's his sort of tick. Whereas in esports, very rarely, occasionally during the regular LCS, you'll see cam footage of the two coaches watching the game and seeing their reactions. But I feel like seeing a coach's reaction is in person would be so cool. Like you get that their emotion transfers to you so much more palpably than you do by just like seeing a video camera of them in a room quietly watching a match.
That's cool. What else? Was there anything that was like outright surprising?
I mean, I'm surprised Samsung did so well. That's for damn sure. I thought it was going to be a stomp. I mean, the last game wasn't close.
Yeah.
But like SKT owned that match. They basically were flawless.
Mm.
And being live there is so much more exhausting than watching at home. Like at home, I'm going to the bathroom, I'm going up and getting some water, all that kind of stuff. I was surprised by how much more like empathy I had for the players being at the live event. Because I sort of felt the physicality. Like, I was exhausted by the end of this entire tournament.
Imagine these guys. The lights are on.
Yeah.
And they're like,
it's crazy. Like, so the first match goes over an hour. Mm. The third match goes almost the longest in world's history.
Yeah.
They play four matches. They've been playing, I mean, and we're talking about...
They've been playing for hours.
Hours. And all of the strategy that happened beforehand. Mm. So the scrims that they've been practicing up to this point. Those guys have been on the ball for probably 12 hours easy.
Yeah.
Right. And yet SKT manages to play the last game as though it's their first game, like expertly.
Yeah.
100% perfect. The awe that I felt like the crowd and I certainly had for that performance at the end of the match was unparalleled because we were there. Because we saw, like, man, I don't know how they're doing it because I'm fucking exhausted. And to be fair, it might be the chicken tenders and fries speaking, but I was just absolutely like wiped by the end of it.
Yeah.
And to know that they were like still on the ball there in that live environment when it's that loud and there's that much pressure is just like, mwah. Like that's why you go and watch live sporting events, why you go watch live esports, right? You have that connection to those players in a way that I think you don't normally do when you're just watching a stream.
Mm.
So yeah, it definitely reinvigorated, I think, my recommendation to people to just go watch live esports
because
it's super fascinating.
I mean, I think that's probably the most valuable thing, which is like you are not getting the same experience if you're watching it at home.
Yeah.
And that's something that I feel like we have an easier time explaining away with esports because it is about computers. And it's like, okay, well, I'm watching on a computer. It's about computers. Yeah. It's like, whatever. Whereas I can't really say like, well, I'm having the same experience at home watching the World Series. Obviously not. Like, that's not.
Right.
But like, clearly with this, like, you're also not having the same experience. Totally. So like, there's a space to appreciate esports in a physical way that we sometimes discount, it sounds like.
Absolutely, yeah. And again, how would you explain to someone who doesn't know what esports is, like, yeah, why you're at the Staples Center, yeah, on a Saturday night?
Well, but then you can tell them, hey, 60,000 other people were there too, so, like, yeah, you know, there has to be something to this.
Totally,
like,
yeah. And I think it's kind of cool that esports is growing, like Overwatch, right? Overwatch, yeah, is doing the World Cup at BlizzCon. There's going to be a bunch of people at BlizzCon who've never seen a live esports event. Yeah. And I think maybe we should talk about this later, but I think Overwatch esports, like, the viewing process is hot garbage.
I mean, they have to fix.
There's so many things to fix.
They have to solve the FPS problem, really. Because, like, FPSs are hard to watch.
Yeah, I watched some matches today, and, like, again, we'll talk about it, but it's an absolute mess.
Yeah.
Anyway, people will be watching live esports for the first time, and there's a potential that, like, they're sort of invigorated by that to appreciate it in a way that's different than watching it at home.
Yeah. Cool. Well, this was a fun report from the field.
Live
from Staples Center. Too many chicken tenders.
Too many chicken tenders. Do not eat chicken tenders at the Staples Center.
ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And ExperiencePoints.net is our batter's box, but the esports version of that.
Mousing box.
Yeah, come down, bring your friends, leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you happen to listen to your podcasts.
Yep. All right, until next time, everyone. Thank you for listening. We will talk to you next week.
So long. Every time we disagree, there's a place to go to.